The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
What does it mean to be a conservative? And are there such things left as civilizations? And if there are, what is Western civilization? There are very few guests who could tackle questions such as these, especially in a certain demographic we are about to enjoy. A young man who has impressed millions online. I found him through my son. He is the host of something called the What If Alt-Hist, as in Alternative History Channel. And we are delighted to have him back on America First. Rudyard Lynch, greetings.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure coming on the previous time, so I'm grateful to be back. And to clarify for your first question, you're asking what my definition of Western civilization is.
No, don't steal my thunder. I am the host. We will get to that momentarily. You could clarify me later on. I've been watching your latest video about religion as I was coming to work today. I want to leverage instead a question that we got into with your colleague yesterday in a private discussion that has bugged me for the longest time, especially as I became more and more interested in politics, or rather active in politics. And that's the word conservative or conservatism. So I'd like you, in front of our millions of listeners, to address the topic we grappled with yesterday in our discussion. What content, what functional meaning does the word conservative have today, given the fact that it originally meant to conserve those traditions which have demonstrated themselves over millennia to function, like family and so forth? If those phenomena, if those traits, if those traditions have been systematically dismantled or assaulted, is conservatism applicable as a political identity today? Let's begin with that, Rudyard.
What I would say is that if people use it, it's an applicable identity, where if you form the political movement around something, it works through just watching it in the world. And it's interesting where among people my age, and I'm 22, the political compass is very popular. And the political compass is right, left, authoritarian, libertarian. But as a person who studies a lot of history, you can tell that over the course of human history, the political spectrum is often something completely different. If you're across most of human history, the political compass is that between entrenched landowning elites who are often more socially liberal and degenerate, and then often fanatical populist religious reformers. So that's the normal binary. But in our society, due to the technological change implicit in the Industrial Revolution, the political divide is those between effectively those who treat progress as their god, and that they think that all change that happens is good change, and that it's our duty to make change happen faster, and those who do not believe that. In other words, the difference between conservatives and progressives is, do you think human nature is perfectible, yeah, or do you think it's not? Because under those conditions, if you think human nature is perfectible, once you remove constraints upon human nature, stuff like religions, governments, various social mores, etc., you will reach a utopia. Yeah. And if you don't believe in that, then you will think that you need to maintain those things for society to survive. And this is an idea I took from Thomas Sowell, so it's not original to myself.
Now, I'm going to go off here on a tangent, and I warn our listeners and viewers in advance that this is what having discussions with somebody as well read as Rudyard is all about. You spoke about how the dynamic was elites that owned the land and then everybody else, and you can see this, yes, replicated over time. How much of a paradigmatic shift does it mean that today we don't have landed gentry and kings and dynasties, and the might of a nation, some believe, is not a function of how many factories they have making, you know, gears and axles, but we've gone into this age of bits and bytes, big tech, Palo Alto, we don't have landowners running massive estates. We've got Jeff Bezos with his warehouses and Google with their, you know, SEO control of information. Is that a reality? Is that disconnect with the physical world and where money is being made a reality, or an anomalous blip in your opinion?
I think there's two things to look at first here. The first being is I don't think the intelligence or the service economy is the most important aspect of the economy.
Wow.
Because what we believe in our society is that there's almost this progress. You start out agriculture or hunting, then you go to industrial, then you go to service economies and intelligence economies. And once you've attained that level, you don't need to go back. And so that's the logic we use to send our factories to Mexico and China.
Yeah.
My belief is that your society's long-term wealth is dependent upon how much value added you have. In that Nigeria is a desperately poor country, and same with Brazil, but they're both some of the most blessed for resources or agriculture or various kinds of natural bounties, but they don't add value. They ship it off to other places to have the value added. Well, Switzerland or Japan, these are places. Let's look at Switzerland or Sweden. These are cold countries with not much fertile land that have become staggeringly wealthy since they can add value. And the trend I see when people move past the industrial level to the service level, and this is the thing I talk about very frequently, is that we look at the world in 10-year cycles, and so we're incapable of looking over the course of centuries. But historic trends normally take centuries to play out. And for example, Europe, in my opinion, and this is something I'm sure Sebastian and I will get into later, Europe has gone in precipitous decline over the last century. A century ago, Europe was half of the world's economy. Now it's 19%.
Yeah.
In the 1960s, Europe was 40% of the world economy. Now it's 19%. So Europe is a wealthy society, but it made a series of negative decisions, such as destroying its religion, introducing socialism, high tax rates that killed its economy. But we won't notice that because it'll take a century to play out. And so societies that drop their agriculture or their industrial base in just of service economies, they end up going into decline because they don't produce things the rest of the world really needs. And it's hard to replace industrial bases. It's easier to replace knowledge economies, as you can see with all these intellectuals moving from California to Texas, or from Europe to America around World War II. And secondly, you end up with a vastly unequal society. And so a big reason inequality is so high now is that we pulled out the mid-level industrial jobs, and then we put a tremendous amount of money and power into this knowledge economy. And I don't think it's a coincidence that guys in the knowledge economy made that decision. But look at England, for example. England used to be the most important economy in the world. Now England is the city of London and the financial sector there and the knowledge sector that happens to have a backyard, which is the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And so once you remove your industrial base, what you're effectively doing is removing your society's leverage over other people through producing goods, and you're also creating a vastly unequal society which only panders to the educated upper classes.
And on top of that, as a nation, you make yourself incredibly vulnerable when access to those actual physical products is denied you should there be a war and they're being made somewhere else. We are with the host of a superb YouTube channel. It's called What If Althist. His name is Rudyard Kipling, Rudyard Lynch. I knew I was going to say that. Please make sure that you subscribe today. It's absolutely free for you. I watch every single one of these videos. I guarantee you will learn from them. If you enjoy our show, make sure you subscribe to our podcast, whichever platform you prefer. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review. Share the links with your friends. Get the truth out there. And if 3 hours of radio is simply not enough for you in a single day, then join us this July 4th weekend. Already 300 tickets sold for our Patriots Alaska cruise, June 29th to July 6th. Especially if you missed our trip to Israel a year ago, this is for you. We will be traveling to the most beautiful state of the Republic. Check out the itinerary at sebgorka.com. Book your cabin today on the beautiful luxury 5-star liner. Join me, Katie, Jennifer Horn, Chris DeGarl, and our morning maven, Mike Gallagher, for the trip of the lifetime with fellow patriots who love America like you do. Please just find out the details today. Book your cabin at sebgorka.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. And click on the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner at the top. Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do. A controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. A literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it. We only have 3 days left in our campaign for the heroes at the Alliance Defending Freedom, who just yesterday were fighting in the Supreme Court against Biden's FDA and their incredibly dangerous legalization of abortion drugs being mailed to young women across the nation. Please, if you've got children in the car or at home, you may want to turn down the volume. Listen to the story of Elizabeth, who was 24 years old when she was offered one of these abortion drugs.
It feels so bad. I think I'm going to die. Something is wrong. I'm going to die on this bathroom floor. I remember laying there thinking, if I die, I don't want my parents to find me like this. I'm a human. I deserved an extra appointment. I deserved the truth. I deserved the warnings. They withheld that information from me. And not only did they withhold that information from me, they put me in a situation where I could have died. The FDA has completely abandoned its duty to American women by removing safety standards for these powerful drugs. They lied to me. They did not tell me that I would hold my dead baby, that I would see its eyes and its fingers. I still see it. You don't unsee something like that. You can't.
I'm sure she will live with that for the rest of her life. The horror of that experience, holding her dead child and almost dying on the floor of her bathroom. Let's support the Alliance Defending Freedom. They are the conservative anti-ACLU, the Christian Legal Defense Fund that fights for our values, our freedom of religion, and our First Amendment rights. Please make a gift today. We've only got 3 days left. You can call it in. It is tax deductible, 855-374-4767, or just go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the ADF banner at the top. That is 855-374-4767, or just go to S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at the top. In your latest video, Radyard, you had an image of several leaders, the deadliest leaders in history, including Mao, Genghis Khan, Stalin, Tamerlane, and Hitler. And you made a certain observation about these mass murderers. Only one of them stood out. Would you replicate for our listeners across the nation what was the common denominator for most of history's greatest mass murderers?
My latest video was on the social reason religion exists and why almost every society in history is religious. And I think that's an important point, because our current society We treat religion like it's a, like it's some thing uneducated children do. If you're a religious person, in our society, religion is acceptable if you're in the third world or you're some ethnic minority, because what you're doing is quaint and you'll eventually grow up to become a progressive leftist. But if you're a religious person in a developed country, you are an uneducated savage who needs to be destroyed by society. That tangent aside, the point I was trying to make with that video is to show the social importance of religion. And if this exists in almost every single society in history, religion must be truly important. And the point I was making with that chart is you look at the top five mass murderers in history, and this is pulling from a book called Atrocities by Matthew White. And for the people in the audience who want to study history, I'd recommend this book as a good place to start. And there's a handful of books where if you're getting into history, I can recommend. This is a ranking of the top 100 bloodiest atrocities in history. And Matthew White, he doesn't have a political dog in this game. He's centrist. He doesn't talk about politics. He goes through every single one of the top 100 atrocities and ranks who and pulls together all the academic sources to develop a definitive list of the most trusted sources on how many people each atrocity killed. And so the top five mass murderers in history are in a row. Mao and Genghis Khan are tied for number one place at 40 million. After that is Stalin at 20 million, Tamerlane at 15 million, and Hitler at 12 million. And the point I was making here is that except for one, none of these people were part of a traditional religion. Communism, and the reason I became a devout anti-communist, is communism has killed more people than every other religion and ideology in history combined.
Yeah.
Let's take a second to think about that. And I know I'm touching on one of Sebastian's buttons here due to his family background. But so communism's one. The Mongols are another. And that the Mongols killed something like 80 million. And keep in mind, during the Middle Ages, the world's population was 500, 600 million, something like that. And Hitler was he publicly pretended to be Christian for political reasons, but in his personal writings and the Nazi doctrine, he loathed Christianity. So of these five people, three of them were atheists and two of them were Mongols. The only one that was religious was Tamerlane, who was an Uzbek warlord from 500 years ago. And his ancestors had only converted to Islam from the last generation. So he was barely civilized, basically. And what I found is people like to criticize religion, but if you look at a map of atrocities over world history, once you remove the religions, you had the bloodbaths of the 20th century of Nazism, the world wars, communism. And before religion, you had when I say religion, I mean the Axial Age religions, such as Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, whatever. And before that, you had another series of bloody wars, with being the Roman conquests, mass slavery. And in that time period, between the rise of these world religions and the decline of them in the 20th century, the two bloodiest places in the world were the Central Asian steppe, which was pagan, and China, which had the weakest of the major religions. So you can see that religion over history has been a force which has limited people's bloodthirstiness. And I'm not going to say religions are perfect. There are many places where they err in the same way that every single ideology errs or every single belief structure errs. But it's clear from the evidence that religion has held back mankind's worst aspects.
Right. I mean, and it should be logically demonstrable, because whichever religion we discuss, it has to impose some kind of moral order. Yeah. If you deny religion and the existence of God, then of course, you know, if God is dead, then everything is permissible. And of course, you know, to quote Blaise Pascal, if you deny the existence of God, if you kill God, you still leave a God-shaped hole in the soul of man. Why is that? We will continue the discussion. In the meantime, make sure you are following our friend Rudyard Lynch on YouTube at What If Altest, and do give us a follow as well. We're on all the social media platforms that matter. Look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka on True Social, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Getter, Telegram. You can watch us on your television as well through your Roku, your Fire Stick, your Samsung Plus device, or just download the Salem News Channel app. And for unique content by me, and access to me directly, check out my articles at my Substack, sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my whole name is one word. Yes, I know it's weird. sebastiangorka.substack.com. And if you want prosperity back, if you want national sovereignty, if you'd like a border and security, tell the world who you support. It is the I Stand With 45 flag, Trump 2024, made in America with all our America First gear on our website, sebgorkastore.com. The most important garment I think we have made in the 5 years on air is the T-shirt with the picture of a beautiful, sadly, tragically lost young woman, Laken Riley, and the phrase, say her name. All of that and my books at sebgorkastore.com. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorkastore.com. And you can support the president directly at donaldjtrump.com. That's donaldjtrump.com. How do you feel? I feel great. And one of the reasons I believe I feel better is because I take Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule. Balance of Nature receives over 1,000 success stories every single month from hundreds of thousands of customers who've purchased billions of capsules of their fruits and vegetables over the past 20 years. You should check it all out on their website. Their products are gluten-free and non-GMO, and they contain no added sugars or synthetics. If you're looking for something to make you feel better naturally, you should definitely try Balance of Nature today. Whether you order online or call them direct, you must use the promo code GORKA to get this special offer of 35% off. Call them on 800-2468-751 and use discount code GORKA, or order online at balanceofnature.com. Use discount code GORKA to get 35% off. If you enjoy America First, support those who make it possible. This isn't NPR. We don't get $500 million worth of your taxpayer money every year. This is a free market enterprise supported by the likes of Mike Lindell, a great friend of the president, a Christian, a man who loves America, and that's why the left wants to cancel. He is the inventor of MyPillow, a pillow so good he sold 81 million of them. But he believes in God and he believes in America, and that's why the left hates him. Let's have his back. Don't buy that Chinese junk on Amazon. Go to MyPillow.com. He's got hundreds of items for you made in America by Americans. Use my name for 2/3 off and free shipping. How good is that? Talk to a human being. How delightful. 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code GORKA. I got such a long list of questions. I don't know if I'm going to get to them. These are all about, mostly about your latest video. There's one observation. You throw out these pithy observations and you move along at such speed that, people need to stop, listen, or re-listen. And there's one bon mot. There's one little sentence you throw in there in your analysis of why religions exist, and you say it's remarkable, and I want to drill down on why you think this is. You state religion is really the most important thing in civilizational history, yet today in our civilization most people don't understand that it is the most important thing. Why is that? Is it just because of the success of postmodern relativism and secularity?
Let me use an example from Hinduism, where in Hinduism there's this concept of Maya or Valaya, that the outside world is an illusion. And Westerners don't agree with that, but the way I would explain that is that you look at our lives and random things happen to us. We have to deal with like work issues or relationship issues or, a war or having your pet dog die. All these things happen in your life. And it's almost like you're on a road trip and you see these things pass. But you in the car, it is your one soul that faces all of this. Yeah. And so the way I'd imagine religions is for among young men, there's this whole business of alpha male coaching. And one of the biggest principles among all these alpha male coaching is improve your mindset. And what that means is that have a good headspace and a good set of values so that once you face the world, you can face all these issues and you will be able to do so. And that's a kind of cringe industry. I admit that. That being said, there is an underlying level of truth to it, where a religion is a society's shared conception on what they value, how to face the world, and what they believe. And the thing is, you can't really control what happens to you in the world. Anything can happen, but you control how you deal with it.
Yeah.
And so religions are fundamentally the way that you choose to face the world and the things that you choose to believe in. And oftentimes you can't control your society's economy. You can't control the enemies it faces, but you can choose the values and the faith which you choose to deal with it. And then gradually over time, you remake the world in the image of your faith, in that as you face the world and your society face the world over millennia, religion is a way of bringing God's image of the world closer into reality and closer into your mind itself.
I have to ask you, you mentioned you call it this cringe industry, the, you know, masculine self-help. Would you include in that the demonstrable rise of the popularity of Stoicism? Because I see Stoicism as this kind of, I'm going to have a religion without religion kind of thing.
Yeah. I call it cringe, and I am liable in this, in that I have taken things from all of these trends. I'm a young man stuck alive today. And so I have gotten a lot of help from this. And it's something where if young men are on this path, it's one of the better things you can do. The reason I say it's cringe is a lot of it's public relations stuff with advice that's not that good. And it all boils down to just work harder. And it is good advice to work hard, but you need other things in your life too.
Yeah, making your bed is not enough to give you meaning. Yes. It's a starting point.
And I went through a massive Stoicism phase in high school when I wasn't really in a good place in my life. And Stoicism was good, but I gradually evolved from Stoicism to Christianity because I don't think Stoicism is fundamentally a realistic appraisal of the human condition.
Yes.
In that even the most – look at Napoleon. Napoleon is one of the most rational, capable people in history. But he had his insane love affair with Josephine where he was just not – if you just looked at Napoleon's relationship with Josephine, he would not look good. And so with Christianity and other religions to a different degree is that he could accept his own failings and then move onward. And Stoicism, I think, is useful for operationalizing. It's good to be a Stoic in your business. It's good to be a Stoic if you're a general or if you're in a position of responsibility. But I think being a Stoic in your personal life and on your off time is not accountable. It's not realistic for the entire human race.
We're talking to the co-host of the podcast History 102 and the superb YouTube channel, What If Alt Hist, Rudyard Lynch. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, one-on-one. Dr. G Mark II, what does that mean, my new nom de guerre? It means that after meeting Dr. Ashley Lucas and her amazing team at My PhD Weight Loss, I lost a stunning 42 pounds. My muse, Katie, lost 36. Our colleague, Mike Gallagher, lost 53 and kept it off. Wow. No scary injections, no pills to pop, no stupid calorie counting, just a system where you eat five times a day and burn the fat. I'm down to a size 36 in my blue jeans. I haven't been that since my 20s, and it feels good. Find out how good. Check out the before and after pictures at myphdweightloss.com. Mine will shock you. Call up her team right now, 864-644-1900, or just go to myphdweightloss.com. That's 864-644-1900. MyPhDWeightLoss.com. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, the Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls, and in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-374-4145. 4767 right now, or go to sebgorka.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to sebgorka.com or call 855-374-4767 to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. Okay, so we've done stoicism. Oh, let me get this out of the way, if I may. So is there such a thing? We used to talk of Christendom. Nobody talks of Christendom anymore. Is there even a Western civilization left when we look at open borders, self-hatred? Is there such a thing as Judeo-Christian civilization today?
I'd say yes, because the more you travel around the world, the more you realize the things we take for granted are absurd. Go to China, go to Zimbabwe, even Venezuela, and you see that the things that we take for granted are not normal, where the idea of the individual, that's a particularly Western idea. The idea of property rights, a particularly Western idea. Science invented by the West. So there is a clear difference in Western and non-Western societies, even today. That being said, if you look at a lot of the Western world, it's minority Christian now, where England is 29% Christian, France is 37%, or it's one of those. Almost every country in Northwestern Europe, or the former heart of Christendom, are less than 40%, a third Christian. And what you're seeing now is the creation of a completely new set of values. And I talk about this in the video we discussed last time I was on this show, at Modern Civilization. And it's currently being eroded. And there's this new modern civilization. You see this around the world, where go to China, go to Russia. All of these traditional cultures are struggling. And that's mostly due to the Industrial Revolution, where I talk about this in the last video we made on religion, in that a lack of religion in a society doesn't have to do with logical proofs or science. You see periods of agnosticism and atheism over human history, going back thousands of years, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans. And it comes when a society is A, wealthy enough, it doesn't need these values and or starts to resent them, and B, the social structure of the society has changed so much that the value system about which it came from is difficult to apply to the population. And for the Industrial Revolution, we became the wealthiest society in the history and one of the most technological advanced. So it was hard for the previous value systems to keep up with that. That being said, the things that are replacing it are so abjectly stupid that they have to fail. And I have studied every philosophy, every religion in history. I feel comfortable in saying modern wokeness is the stupidest philosophy in history. Yeah. And we get stuck in the eras of history we live in that we often have absolutely bizarre things that we take for granted. And our societies are pushing degrowth, civilizational suicide, the destruction of the dominant ethnicity, women need to replace men, and these things are objectively insane, and they can't succeed.
Yeah,
and
so it's that discussion we had yesterday that a philosophy cannot long survive if it is predicated on the denial of objective truth. At some point, it's like building a building and denying mathematics. Sooner or later, that building will collapse. I want to talk about one topic, Radia, that people love to exploit for clickbait. It made for a very popular video of yours, but you weren't interested in the clickbait. You were talking about, for example, the difference between metropolitan and rural America, and this is the potential for societal violence or civil war in the United States. Will you talk about, I want everybody to watch the video because it's a fascinating analysis, how there is a true bifurcation in America, but it's not political. It's not right and left or Democrat or Republican. It's communities and those who can function in Starbucks with, you know, the Wi-Fi on their Apple product. So the rural versus the urban, how much of a ticking time bomb is the growing chasm between those two communities?
So you're asking me a bunch of interesting questions. It'll take me a second to go through all of them. And across American history, America is such a big country that we always have a divide inside America, inside our political politics and political politics, inside our political culture.
Yeah.
And originally, it was interior versus coastline at the time of the American Revolution. Then it was north versus south. Then it was coasts versus interior again. And I always try to look for some underlying demographic or cultural reason for political differences, because political differences don't exist in isolation, or ideological differences don't exist in isolation. They are representations of the society. And the biggest prediction I have for the right versus the left is, first of all, as you said, rural versus urban. But secondly, it's how much autonomy you have in your job. Where if you work in a large bureaucratic structure, you will be part of the left, which is how the left runs all of society today. Because all of our society, whether the media, the government bureaucracy, the academia, military, corporations, are all bureaucracies. We're a bureaucratic society. And the reason bureaucrats love the left is their lives are so boring that the only way they can motivate themselves to keep going is imagining their bureaucracies to be holy. And the left is the deification of bureaucracy, or through perfect bureaucracies, we'll build a utopia. On the right, everyone who is self-employed or has autonomy in their work, even poor people like small business owners — most business owners in America aren't wealthy — farmers, artisans, and the reason for that is that if you have autonomy in your work, you have a stake in the society. And so you have a desire to keep the society going because you have something worth losing. But if you're in a giant bureaucracy, you want the bureaucracy to go, and you have no stake in the survival of the society. And in my videos, I say that we're on the verge of a civil war. And that's something I could talk for a very long time about. I have put about 6 hours into talking about the future.
Let's drill down on one issue. What is the main catalyst for that impending violence?
Yes. One of my catchphrases is I'm betting against God. And what that means is that there's infinite ways to be wrong and only a handful to be right. So the statistical chances I'm right are pretty low, and I try to be aware of that. But what I'm saying is that I am pretty certain we're going to have political violence. I bet money on that. The exact causal mechanism through which it starts is difficult to predict. I made a video saying I think we're going to have political violence, such as a war or a revolution or something like that, by the 2024 election. And the reason I say that is that we're in a place where, for the right and the left, they have an easier time staying in power than by starting a war than by placating the other side. And that's for a handful of reasons. First of all, is immigration. I believe Biden's brought in some ridiculous number, 6 million people, 12 million people.
Officially, it's 8, but if you talk to the experts, you can safely double that.
Okay, so he's brought in 15 million people. That's absurd, over the last 3 years. Also, money printing. I don't trust the numbers people put out, but the numbers I've seen, it might be a lot worse, is the value of $100 in 2020 is now $75. That's 4 years. And so the Democrats have been pushing immigration and money printing to degrees they're just completely unsustainable. Meanwhile, another trend I see is wokeness took over all of society, and wokeness is a cancer that consumes the vitality of organizations. Look at Disney. Look at the West Coast. Look at any woke organization. It will burn through its social capital within several years. But the thing is, the woke people have so controlled those organizations, and they're power hungry, that they have a lot of trouble letting go of power. And so what you see here is that society can't survive another 4 years without a revolution. And I spend a lot of time on right-wing Twitter, and it's an incredibly bloodthirsty culture. There are the people out there who want to do this, and it's similar on the left, where most of the biggest left-wing political streamers have openly said they need to use violence against the right.
Yeah.
And so I think the easiest catalyst for this is the budget. And there's a handful more, but I think the budget's the most likely because there are patterns that predict historical crises like this. And the most likely one each time is budget issues, which is the French Revolution, the English Civil War, the French crisis around the Black Death. And you could go through so many more. And we're at a point where we're barely passing budgets every few months. Yeah. And so let's say each time we pass a budget, there's a 10, 20% shot that it doesn't work out. Then you keep on rolling those 10 or 20% shots and you're getting very high odds. And so each time they pass a budget is due to the Republicans giving concessions to the Democrats. What happens past a certain point when a Republican elected official says, I have a better chance of getting reelected if I say no to the Democrats,
right,
than if I say yes. And then once that starts, everyone has to play to their side. And it becomes this tinderbox of all these small rational calculations that would added up lead to war, because the Republicans say no. The Democrats think, I won't get reelected if I do this. I have to level up. The Republicans say, we can't let the Democrats offend our honor. The Democrats say, we can't surrender to the Republicans. And then Texas secedes, and the National Guard is splitting up.
He's betting against God every single day on the YouTube channel. Follow him at What If Alt Hist, also co-host of the podcast History 102. This is America One-on-One, America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, coming to you from just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank, malodorous, noisome, ghastly swamp that is Washington, D.C. Relief Factor, it's real, it works, it is liberating over a million Americans right now from their daily pain. I just happen to be one of them. Listen to Alicia from California's story. I'm a grocery store worker and was working doubles during the coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees did not get a rest. I literally limped to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain decreased substantially. So thankful for that amazing product. That should be your story. Find out today. There's only one way, but it's super easy. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. Ask yourself a very simple question. What do you have to lose? If the answer to that question is just the pain, I think you know what to do. Call today, 1-800-473-5433, or just go right now to relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. All right, well, I'm delighted, as you agreed yesterday, to become a regular guest. We will be having confabulations at least once a month with our friend Rudyard Lynch. In the meantime, I'd like to set up our audience for a successful education on all matters historic and civilizational from our new regular friend with regards to reading matter. In your last video, you spoke very highly of the historians Will Durant with his multi-volume History of Civilization, of course Spengler and their discussion of cycles. I purchased on your recommendation The Leviathan and Its Enemies by Samuel Francis. If you had to recommend one book to read, and I know Spengler, I completely concur with you, it's a very difficult read. If you want people to start getting into the question of civilization, cycles, the understanding, the trends, the patterns in history, where should our listeners and viewers begin, Rudyard?
I'm going to give two recommendations depending on how much you want. The book which explains my worldview in its totality the best is War and Human Civilization by Azar Gott. And That book is a study of how war has changed human history. And he goes through every aspect of human society, either marriage or psychology, or why the West rose to dominance, or why China had a big empire that declined, or why Rome fell. It's a study of the nature of war over human history. And whenever I talk to non-conservatives and they say, Rudyard, what book will understand the conservative mind best? I don't know Azargat's politics, but that book will explain how conservatives think the best, because conservatives are always on the lookout for the destruction of their societies and external threats.
Yeah.
And maintaining values against those. So a more complicated book, and it's long, War and Human Civilization. If you're a normal person and you want to get introduced into history, I would recommend The Invention of Yesterday by Tamim Ansari, which is the best intro to world history, where it's a history of the worldviews people used over history. So he explains how the ancient Babylonians saw the world, how the medieval Europeans did, and how that changed over time. And I love this book because most people, when they study history, they get too stuck in the dates and the facts and the wars, and that's important. But also it's important to know why these choices happened. And I think it helps people digest what the subjective experience of history was like in a better way. And that's easier for people to remember.
I'm not familiar. I've just ordered both of those books, The Invention of Yesterday, A 50,000-Year History of Human Culture, Conflict and Connection by Tamim Ansari, and then by Azargat, A War in Human Civilization. And that's going to be an easy read for me because I wasn't familiar with the book, the author, or the thesis, but my response to my students and the officers I taught over the decades is, if you want to understand the history of mankind, you have to understand the permanence of conflict. The idea that war is something we can negotiate away or wish away is absolute childish naivete. The history of man is written in blood and the history of conflict. That clarity is why we so enjoy our friend Rudyard Lynch, and now he's going to be a regular guest at least once a month. In the meantime, educate yourself with his amazing videos on YouTube for free at What If Alt Hist, and check out his new podcast as well, History 101. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, make sure you're following us on our podcast. Follow me on social media. Check out the store as well. But in the meantime, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.